Hi everyone, I'm sorry I can't be with you tonight, I'm on holiday. But this was recorded a few days before we left for a holiday. So I just want to share with you something that's been on my heart. It was kind of, came to me, I was reading it in the run up to the 2nd of June, the kind of relaunch service. And I thought I would share this with you tonight. We've come to the end of the Luke's Gospel, Parables of Jesus series. So this is a kind of one-off, but maybe it would be helpful as we do this new beginning together to think about this passage. So if you could read with me, that would be great, from Jeremiah chapter 18. So let me read it for us. And if you've got a Bible there, if you could read along with me, that would be great as well. This is what the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord says. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, "Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down and destroyed, and if that nation, I warned, repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at that another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Now therefore say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. But they will reply, it's no use. We will continue with our own plans. We will all follow the stubbornness of our evil hearts." The Lord has a way of giving object lessons, or taking his prophets on a field trip to kind of help them understand what it is that he needs them to be communicating to the people of God. And in Jeremiah's case, the Lord takes him to the potter's house to see the potter at work. So he's kind of like giving him a tour, I guess, of how a job is done. I recently was in a whiskey distillery was taken through that process of how whiskey is made. It's a fascinating process. And pottery, making pottery, is one of the oldest art forms in the world. And it's changed very little down through the years. It's still the same technique that is used. So Jeremiah is taken by the hand, by the Lord, to the potter's house for an object lesson. And at first, God doesn't speak. Did you notice that? God doesn't say anything. Just watch this, Jeremiah. It's a really important lesson, actually. God shows us things and speaks to us through what we see, and does not need to speak in a voice. And maybe there's a lesson there about us becoming observant and looking out for what it is that God is wanting to teach us, and not always expecting him to immediately speak to us through a voice, but to speak to us through what he's created and what we see around us. The Lord can speak, but in this instance he shows and then he tells. It's just kind of show and tell. The potter's making the clay, taking the clay, taking the lump of clay, twisting it and kneading it and caressing it and pounding it, getting all the bubbles and all the impurities out of it. Reminded me of that film Ghost, you know, with Patrick Swayze. I think it's Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore. And there's that kind of them working the clay together. And it was quite controversial at the time it came out. It's fairly tame by today's standards. But that idea of working the clay, there's the potter shaping something that's beautiful, using his talent, his gifts to smooth it out, and so that it becomes something useful and indeed something beautiful in the hand of the potter. But then the clay becomes marred. We're not told what happened to it, whether there was an impurity or something had gone wrong, some air bubble had got in, but it became less pliable and not as easy to use. So the potter kind of throws it down and doesn't chuck it away, doesn't throw it away, but begins to reshape it again, begins to remould it, reshape it into a new vessel that would be pleasing to him. And it's after Jeremiah's watched this that then God begins to speak. So God begins in verse 5, 6, "Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does? Can I not do with you, O Israel, what this potter does?" And so the message to Jeremiah was really, really clear. God is the potter, and Israel, God's chosen people, they are the clay. It reminds me of that song. Remember that song? "I am the potter, you are the clay. Mould me and make me, this is what I pray." I'm so sorry to sing to you. I hope that's not put you off. And we kind of sing that, and it's a beautiful song to hear. And it makes us feel good, because the Lord takes us and remakes us, and when we screw up, he can begin again with us. That's the lesson that we take from it. But there's a little bit more to the story in Jeremiah here that we need to pay attention to. God works and needs the lump of clay. And God had done that for over 400 years. It shaped and moulded the Jewish people during their years when they were captive in Egypt, and then had used Moses through his leadership, had brought them out of Egypt to begin their journey to the Promised Land. But again, there was more moulding and more shaping to go on during that time. Along the journey from Egypt to the Promised Land, the clay became marred. The people began to moan and to complain and to whine and to rebel. Not against Moses, but against God. But God didn't kind of get upset and say, "Well, these guys are rubbish, let's throw the clay away." He didn't kind of treat them like that. No, instead, God, who is the potter, takes them and reshapes them, breaks the clay down and begins to remold and reshape his vessel over the course of 40 years. 40 years in the wilderness. And during that time, God removed the impurities from the clay, basically by allowing everyone over 20 years and older who'd made the exodus out of Egypt to die off in the wilderness, including the negative spies. Remember the 10 negative spies who'd brought back the bad report out of Canaan. So during those 40 years, the vessel, the pot, the clay pot begins to take shape. God the potter gives Moses the laws that would govern the Jewish people once they'd entered into the Promised Land. So once they were in the Promised Land, Israel became the God's vessel, God's pot, God's vessel of honour. This was, God was their God and they were his people. So no, God blessed no other nation on earth like he did Israel. Just like a piece of pottery that had been fired in the kiln, moulded and shaped, and then put in the kiln and fired and covered in a brilliant glaze, Israel glistened as God's masterpiece. But then the vessel started to crack. Didn't last forever. It's horrible when you have a nice piece of pottery and it gets damaged. There's stories I could tell about how things like that have happened. In our home, and it's kind of shattering, not just for the pot, but for you as well. Sometimes if it's a precious thing that you've lost, it can feel really bad. I remember as a child, my mother had a beautiful ornamental piece that my brother and I somehow managed to smash. It sat on the mantelpiece and in one of our regular I'll call it a fight, because that's probably what it was. We knocked off the mantelpiece and smashed it to pieces, and my mum chased us round the sofa. It was really upsetting to her because it was precious to her. Well, God's wonder work, the people of God, were sadly marred. They were marred in all sorts of ways. They started worshipping false gods like Ashtaroth and Baal. The men of Israel started marrying pagan women, heathen women from the godless nations around them. People rebelled against the law of God. They did what was pleasing in their own eyes. The religious leaders and many of the kings were evil and corrupt and led the Jewish people down a road of destruction. And then a huge crack developed in the pot because the nation was divided into northern and the southern kingdom. So the vessel that God had made had become marred. His brilliant masterpiece had become dishonoured. And that was the pot, the vessel, that Jeremiah was looking at. And that day at the potter's house, God gave Jeremiah the hope that he would never throw the clay away. Instead, he would take her in her brokenness and remould her and reshape her into a new vessel. So it's a beautiful picture. It's a picture of judgment. God's people have gone astray. They've got it wrong. But you know what? I'm going to reshape. I'm going to redo. I'm going to do something brand new in you. So there's lots to learn from this. I mean, it's a really powerful picture. I guess it's an Old Testament parable. It's a continuation of the parables that we've read over recent months. So it's an Old Testament version of what Jesus did to try and help his people. So how does this apply to us? Okay, well, there are three key elements in this passage, I think. There's the potter, who's our Heavenly Father, who's the Lord, who's God. There's the clay, which is you and me and all the people who claim to follow Jesus, who are God's children. And then there's the potter's wheel, which I guess represents the context in which we find ourselves, the circumstances that we face and experience. So there are three, I think, lessons that we might draw out from this passage tonight. The first is this. And it's a principle, really. And I've talked a little bit about this in the past, but the question that I have, and the question that's constantly being put to me by the Lord, is who's in control? Who's in control of me? Who's in control of you? Who's in control of St. Thomas's Church? Well, this story reminds us, this passage reminds us that it is the potter, it is God who is in control. We recently had a visit of the man who aims to make America great, a self-made man. Well, self-made, except for he was given, $1 million by his father to help make him a self-made man. And when we think about that, we're self-made, we're independent. We think it all comes from us. It's our ability, our skills, our knowledge, our cleverness that enables us to do anything. It's our own human efforts. But if we're children of God, we understand that we can't make ourselves. We're nothing but a lump of clay. We're nothing but a lump of clay. And we need the maker, the potter, to be the one who shapes us and creates us. God is the potter, we are the clay. If it's true for us as individuals, it's true for us as a church. And so because of that, I wonder whether we can accept the possibility that God might reshape us as a church in new ways, in fresh ways. Are we prepared for that? Are we comfortable with that? You know, as we get older, it's more difficult. We get set in our ways. You know, I'm a kind of middle-aged pastor now. I've been doing this a long time. And one of the arts of pastoring is to be constantly open to new things and learning new things, reading, studying, watching. And I really hope that we'll grasp this opportunity that's been given to us, not to settle into a kind of middle-aged comfort, but actually to be radical and to look at possibilities and to try new things. Because that's not just some clever ideas that might be coming. I mean, it could just be clever ideas coming from the rector or the leadership team, but it could be the Lord reshaping us for what we need to be now, so that the message, the gospel of Jesus, goes out to those around us in a way that is going to really help people come to faith in Christ. But in order to do that, we need to be prepared to be moulded in fresh ways and new ways. So this is potentially really, really challenging. God is the potter. We are just the clay. You know, I love that bit. One of my favourite verses in scriptures from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, which you'll know, I think I've probably quoted it quite a lot in the past, which says this: we make our plans, but the Lord directs our steps. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Will we allow him? Will we allow him to choose the path that we're on? So let's not be the potter. Let's not us be the potter. Let's let the Lord be the potter. And that's true for us as a church. It's true for us in our day-to-day lives as well. Second thing I want to say is this. God desires to make us something that is a beautiful vessel of honour. Even with when we're cracked and we're broken and we're smashed, he wants to reshape us. Even, you know, I love that Japanese art of kintsugi, you know, where you crack a pot gets cracked and smashed up and you put it all together again with gold. So, you know, God uses cracked pots, but that's beautiful, and the cracks remain there and you can see them, and they're sealed and cemented together with gold. That's great, but actually what we're seeing here is a complete reshaping and remoulding. It's the same material, but God is wanting to build it into something new. He's not just simply wanting to kind of plaster over the cracks so that the cracks are still there. That's okay. It's okay, we're all cracked pots. But actually, it's remaking and reshaping so that his purposes are achieved. And his purpose is to make us vessels, beautiful vessels, that will bring glory and honour to him. Not glory and honour to us, glory and honour to him. And the greatest glory and honour is that we can achieve in life is to be more like Jesus, to be conformed to the image of Christ, as the New Testament tells us. And that's a kind of lifetime work, but it's a goal, it's a vision, and it's what God is doing as he reshapes his people. Romans 8 and verse 29 says this: for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Or how about Galatians 4, verse 19, where it says this: my little children, for whom I labour in birth again until Christ is formed in you. So be conformed, be formed in Christ. That's the goal, that's the image, that's the greatest thing that can be done in our lives. The greatest thing that can be achieved in our lives is to be conformed to the beautiful image of Jesus. And when a potter's sitting down at his wheel, to work with a lump of clay, he has a purpose in mind for that clay as he's working it, as he's making it. He kind of knows, or she knows, what she's doing, that this is, I know exactly where I'm going with this. I know what I'm aiming for. I know what I'm looking for, whether it's going to be a vase or a bowl or a cup or a pitcher, something to pour from. And as the potter works that piece, the goal will be to work towards the fulfillment of that purpose. That's what God wants for us. As he works us the clay, he does it because we have a specific purpose. So for us as individuals in our workplaces, in our homes, he has a purpose for us, that he would be glorified. And it doesn't really matter where you are. You know, it doesn't matter what your job is, how difficult your job is, how much you hate your job, how much you love your job. Where you are, you glorify the Lord. In your home, you get to glorify the Lord. That's his purpose in you. And then lastly, third thing, and with this I'll come to an end, is what God wants to use to kind of mould us to be the people he wants us to be. Well, he molds us in the context in which we find ourselves. We can't do anything other than that. God uses the circumstances, the process is to use the circumstances we're in to mold us into the vessels that he wants us to be. So here's the thing. A potter isn't, when he throws down, I think that's the right term, when he throws the clay down onto the wheel, it takes time. It takes time for him to create something that is beautiful and worthwhile. Likewise, it takes time for God to work on us and transform me and you into the vessel, the object that he wants us to be. It's a process that sometimes can be very, very painful when things don't go the way we want. At various times in my life, I've been very conscious of that difficult process of breaking and remoulding and reshaping going on. From an age of 17, 18, I had the sense that the Lord was calling me into ministry. And off I went to university, age 17, to study. And I went to study divinity straight from school. And I lasted a year, and I didn't like it. I didn't like university. I didn't like the stuff I was studying. And at the end of the year, I did my exams, but I just thought my heart was not in it. And I dropped out of university, and I went to work in different jobs, and working with alcoholics in a whiskey bottling factory, and dressing up in costumes and entertaining kids, all sorts of different things. But it was like I spent 3 years really doing all sorts of different jobs and feeling, you know, what was going on with that sense of call that the Lord had given me. But the Lord was maturing me and changing me and helping me have a better perspective and actually growing stronger in my faith, so that 3 years later I was in a much better place to return to university and study and do a degree. And by that time I was a candidate for ministry. I was training for ministry. So, but it took time to work through all of that to get to the place that the Lord needed me to be in. Paul describes it, this process, becoming more like the image of Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, doesn't he? Where it says this: "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair." And then verse 11, he says, "For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh." So we are clay in the hands of the potter. He wants to shape us for his purposes, that he would be glorified. This will be difficult and it will be costly, but it will be to the glory of God. So, people of St. Thomas's, make it so for you, and let's together make it so for the church. He's in control. He's the one who will shape us. And let us lay down any sense of us wanting to be the potter and control. We are clay in his hands. May God bless you tonight. I hope you have a good time praying together. And thank you to Sandy for leading tonight's meeting. Let me pray for you. Father, pray for the people of St. Thomas's gathered tonight, that they would know your blessing and your power, and that together you would shape us and mould us into the people that you want us to be for the future. Give us vision for the future. Give us a love for the lost. Make us a welcoming people. And Lord, above all else tonight, may you make us ready to be transformed, to conform to the image of Jesus more and more. And may we see your glory working in us and through us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for listening, and good night.